Coffee Sketch Podcast is our take on the intersection of old tech and new tech, the space between the traditional practice of the hand-drawn sketch that has been performed by architects and designers for centuries, and the modern-day use of the hashtag as a representation of a sentiment or a movement. Each week, we plan to deliver a new pod about our ideas, sketches, and what's going on in our daily lives as we pursue our love of architecture, design, and sharing this knowledge with the next generation. I'm Kurt, and I'm in Flint.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm in Austin.
Hey, Jamie. What's up?
Howdy, sir. How are you?
Howdy. Do you get that a lot down there?
Well, we do when we're agified. So the customary greeting as one Aggie to anybody is howdy. So there you go. From the Canuck to the guy in Michigan, howdy.
What was the I forgot his name. When we were in Texas, yes, at the Pechacucha. It doesn't matter how you say it. If nobody's ever heard of it, they still don't know what it is.
People correct me all the time, but it's Pechacucha, and I'm going to stick with it.
Your fellow Aggie, oh man, you said something about A&M, and he instinctually shouted something, and I can't remember what he said.
Whoop?
Yeah, he whooped.
Yes. So we whoop. Yeah. Yes. Seniors, and alumni, or former students, as we like to also affectionately call ourselves, we whoop. And it's
cool.
It is why you think it is, because it's like an exclamation point.
Oh, right on. It's like, you know, being from USC, somebody says something about USC and I say fight on.
Yes. It's like a call and response.
And that's what we
do. Normally things that a bunch of architects are going to talk about. And I would say that there's probably some other schools in Texas that have nothing to do with any of those things. And, you know, that's why there was more Aggies on the stage for the Pechacucha than any other Texas school. But, you know, I might have stacked the deck. But that's what happens when, you know, you give the Aggie architect the opportunity.
It was a liberal sprinkling.
There were, you know, liberal. We had two former students from Texas A&M, you know, not including myself as the moderator and master of ceremonies for the event, which was something that I was very, very excited about doing. And then we also had a current faculty member.
That's right.
So A&M definitely had a strong representation, as did other schools in Texas, as well as some universities like your own from Southern California that were duly represented and did very, very well at the event as well. If you don't mind for a second, I'm going to take the liberty of thanking everybody personally again.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
So the presenters.
Go right ahead.
Included Sterling Stevens, who was a former student of Texas A&M University. And his story that he shared was entitled 4A. Veronica Castro Barrera, from here in Austin. She is a wonderful architect and good friend, and shared a story of a lot of her travels from Mexico to Copenhagen to Texas and in between, mobility and human connection. Larry, and I'm not even going to say your last name, Larry, because you know I'm going to say it wrong, with Spotted Dog Architecture. And his story was about queer visibility in 20. And then we had Bang Dang, a foreign dang in Dallas. And Bang presented First Eight. Then we had Mr. podcast co-host, Mr. Kurt here, who will be talking a little bit more about his experience, but his was Take the Plunge, The Art of Execution. We also had Jesse Miller from Megamorphosis in the Lower Rio Grande Valley, the LRGV, on the border. And his topic was cross-border education and practice poised on the edge. We also had Gianna Pigford from Dallas, and her story, very personal and very poignant, was Storyteller. Then we had Fallon Mihalik out of Houston with Fallon Land Studio, the landscape architect, and Rhode Island School of Design, which I'm very envious of, graduate. And hers was Deep Work, Play, and Time. Also does some amazing public artwork. And then we had Alejandro Borges, and I don't know if I pronounced that right, and I apologize, but Alec is a faculty member at Texas A&M University and an amazing illustrator, architectural and otherwise, and his presentation on projection, shadows, and representation of space. I'm very, very glad he was able to join us. And then last but not least, we had Ava Schoen with Trophiology. For those of you who have not seen Trophiology's work, Ava is an amazing architect, but has a very, very innovative company, and design and gratitude are things that she professes, and her presentation was amazing. And her topic, her story, was the architecture of gratitude. So I want to just personally thank all the people who presented, as well as the Texas Society of Architects, for giving me the opportunity to kind of curate this group of folks on the IMAX screen. So, Kurt, how did it feel to have your work on an IMAX and just, you know, talking, you know, in that kind of an environment? I mean, that's a totally different presentation.
That was, completely intimidating, but not cripplingly so, I guess, if that's a way to say it. But, that we got there to the screen, to set up or get ready. And, I've been to an IMAX theater before, but never in the anticipation of actually having to stand in front of that screen. And, that thing absolutely dwarfs you and just feels like you feel like an ant compared to the screen, which may be a good thing, you know, that people aren't really looking at you. So I kind of stuck to the screen. So, you know, you gave me the heads up that there was going to be quite a large screen. So I definitely was thinking of that when I was picking the images for the slideshow, because I wanted to at least two things: see how large I could find a picture of myself to get up on there, see how that would look, and then how to like pick some of the projects that would tell the story in a way that would look really interesting at that, you know, with that giant screen. Cause I'm not a fan of being that it's a kind of PowerPoint format, I'm not a fan of ever having a lot of text on a slide. And, you know, I like to be able to, I'll talk through it, but I like to just show the imagery. And I think we as humans in general, right? The picture is worth 1,000 words. As long as you say it in 6 minutes and 40 seconds.
Well, and that's the thing I was just going to say is, I mean, the trick about this, you know, kind of format for those who've never been to a Pechacucha, Kurt pronounces it different than me, but it's 20 slides, 20 seconds a slide. Though you curate your own slide deck and the order of them, you don't have any control over the clicker once the presentation starts. So it's quite a wonderful story opportunity. It's got some amazing visuals and really, just a fun way to hear folks, relate to an audience.
Yeah. We talk about imposed constraints all the time when it comes to your sketches, if it's time or a limited tool, like if it's just going to be a pen or what, you know, putting a, this is also a time thing. So time constraint, I think, forced all of us as the presenters to distill the concepts down to the bare essence that they need to be. And I think that made it a good thing, right? I mean, you know, we even joke here on the Coffee Sketch podcast that we should maybe try and be a little more constrained and cram all this into a little bit shorter of each episode. And we'll get there, right? We're getting there.
We're getting there. I think the sort of ramble that we've got is kind of fun. if we end up going with a script, you might have a little coup on your hands, but just,
yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
So what I thought of pulling together today, is, well, we're still in the midst of Arcingtober, but nearing the end, and, you know, Jamie, persevered and diligently produced content for every day of Arcingtober, I believe. If you utilize the parentheses of ketchup, but you made it.
I did. I had to catch up on a couple, and we talked about that in the last episode. But and, yes,
I pulled a couple. Well, the first one is hashtag Gotham, and so it's an aerial. It's a really cool aerial view of the end of the south end of Manhattan, the Battery Park area, and I think that was cool. I'm being from the East Coast. I've always been sort of fascinated and impressed with the space of New York City, and I mean, I think anybody can be. It's quite a unique part of this country, and so yeah.
Well, and it's something that you and I've talked about before, is that it's, you know, for me coming from Montreal, you know, also East Coast, you know, but then growing up in the States and really growing up mostly in the South in the States, you know, we would go home in the summers to Montreal, and one of the things that sort of always was pointed out to me was the proximity of Montreal to New York. And so family and friends would always talk about, you know, this sort of wonderful relationship between Montreal and New York. But both were very, very similar cities, and that both are islands, you know, Manhattan, that is. But the scale of it, that was the thing that they always sort of remarked, was that the scale of New York in comparison to Montreal was immense. And, you know, I hadn't been to New York until I was, you know, in college, and so it was a city that I'd never visited as a kid, and but it was always something that was talked about, and then, you know, as a young kid, and, you know, somebody who, you know, loves movies and popular culture and comic books and graphic novels. You know, Gotham is sort of a way that I've always viewed that city. And you know, so when the prompt for this one, you know, kind of came into play, then that's, you know, this was, you know, when you think of a skyline, then for me, it's going to be, it's going to be Gotham.
Yeah. I think, the same. You know, there's a really iconic look to it. I mean, there's something always about, like, the fact that it is an island, and the very south end of Manhattan is just so packed with some of the biggest buildings. And, I mean, if you would follow this random thought that I have, because, you know, the engineer brother of mine was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, there's no way. You know, the earth is so large, and so this thing I have in my mind is, like, you know, when we study structures in school, right, you're always talking about the reactions, So if your building is weighs this much, right, then the earth has to have that much in reaction force, you know, in to oppose. And so,
sure.
Sometimes it just, like, you look at even your, the way your sketch is drawn, too, like, where it has a nice forced perspective, and you can see the Midtown skyline in the background. But just it just seems like, man, like, how does the soil underneath all that have enough reaction to hold up all these buildings at the same time?
Well, and as you say that, now the sketch like has this whole other meaning, because it almost looks like the water is sort of reacting to the presence of that, that weight and, you know, visual and physical. I mean, it's,
It does,
but no,
it's a really cool sketch. And yeah, you know, there is kind of a, this sort of, the earth is actually like the landscape, or the water in this case, and then the shoreline, I think, is really rendered nicely too, because it has this sort of roughness to it where it's not it's not a clean cut line. You know, the East River and the Hudson, you know, are kind of wrapping and meandering and stuff like that. So it's dark too, like, well, the Gotham dark.
It's one, well, that was the thing, was I was like, okay, how do I do a skyline? And, you know, I looked for like a quick image, and I was like, I really, you know, I don't want just sort of the characteristic, you know, oh, well, here's six or seven buildings and it's a recognizable skyline. You know, for me was, you know, I want to see, you know, this, you know, like you say, the, you know, the foreshortened, you know, one aspect of the island, and then in the back, you start to see this other kind of built up piece, and it's all recognizable. I don't even need to put that it's Gotham on there, and people know that it's Gotham. And then part of it, I think, is sort of rendering that reality is, and maybe this may be the kind of graphic novelist, you know, aspiring aspirations that I wish I had, is it sort of has that dark, you know, that darkness, and that sort of grit to it that I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I think it's just sort of characteristic of this, you know, kind of wonderful invention that is New York.
That's a good,
And it's a place that, you know, if people who know me know that this is the one city that I would love to live in, at least even for a very short period of time. And, you know, it's certainly one that, you know, has my heart in a lot of ways. But this sketch is an experiment. It's only 15 minutes again. And it's, you know, experimenting with a couple techniques to try and get there. But I was pretty happy with it, actually, even if it was a catch up.
Oh, good. We have probably a couple times asked what you think about it after. But yeah, I'm glad that you said you're happy with it. I would hope that you're happy with all of them.
That's what I'm happy with. There's others.
All of them are amazing. I mean, speaking of which, you know, it's like Pilot Pen USA is not just liking your posts now, but they're actually commenting too. This one, they say, incredible job. And the next one, awesome work as always. So you got a fan in Pilot Pen USA.
I have a fan in the people that I spend a fair amount of money on their pens. And if anyone's listening, send me a pen.
Knock, 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 knock.
Hint, hint, send me a pen. I will be happy to be a guinea pig for any new pen products
awesome.
That you've got.
And so that leads me to... The next sketch, I wanted to jump into the next one too, because it brings us back to the Pechacucha, Pechacucha.
And why does it bring us back to that, Kurt?
So what I asked, actually, this is a request, sketch from me to Jamie. So I sent Jamie a picture of David Hockney's painting called A Bigger Splash, and asked Jamie to coffee sketch it for me, because I was like, I'm planning on putting, I might be using this in the in my pachachkacha, pachakucha. And
see, yeah, there you go. It's easier.
So he obliged and met my deadline. And so what I did was the my arc of the story for my pachakucha is you know, I really liked the idea, the theme that you picked, the take the plunge, and as the overarching theme. And so what I kind of did for the arc, you know, trying to kind of bookend this short, 6 minutes presentation, was I started with the photo of David Hockney, which kind of reminisces to my architecture school days, and then Hockney's sort of infatuation with Southern California. And I mean, at the time for me, you know, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, I was equally infatuated with this Southern California lifestyle of, you know, 365 days a year, you could swim in the pool. There's palm trees everywhere. The sky is always, well, bluish. It's always sunny. And, you know, it rarely rains, even though after a while you realize that that's not a great thing. You know, the fact that it doesn't rain enough. But Hockney, you know, was equally kind of taken, being British, you know, so from England, where it's probably raining 200 days a year, to go to Southern California. So, and not just that, I stumbled across this painting as a student, but it was presented in an art in architecture history class, because he also would paint with mid-century modern buildings as his backdrop. So he would, it'd either be a Pierre Koenig house or another case study house, in Tenza, you know, around Los Angeles. So there's this combination of the art and the architecture. And so that was the beginning. And then Jamie's awesome coffee sketch version of that painting was my last slide. And I was able to kind of tie it all together as we have gone through this journey of experimenting with the podcast. And so what was cool is I knew you would do something, but I didn't know how it would be integrated, but you kind of hybrid sketched this too. And also you cocked it on its side or a diagonal, which is kind of neat too, because the painting is kind of square. And so you got a lot of stuff going on in this that kind of blew me away.
Well, thank you. But it was, I love that you know, made sort of a shout out request for a sketch to include in your pachakucha. I personally was excited that you were going to be able to do the pachakucha to begin with. Cool. And I knew that, you know, the coffee sketch podcast was going to be folded into it. But, you know, when you kind of made the request, it was something that, you know, not a lot of people ask me to do sketches for them. You know, and those who have, it's always very, very special. And something that, I remember each and every one of them. But it's, and not to say that there's a lot, because there really aren't. But it's, you know, in this particular case, it was a challenge. And I like, as you sort of were relaying, you know, your kind of analysis of that sketch, it was like, yeah, it's cocked on its side. And I did kind of the hybridized augmented landscape that I've been experimenting with, and also rendered, you know, the original Hockney piece. But the thing was, I tried to tie it back to Arkinktober. Uh-huh. In that grid. Grid was the word of the day. And so I skewed the grid. The image itself, I kind of gridded it, because I felt like it was this sort of squared off patterned image. And then, as I like to, you know, do with a lot of the augmented landscapes, is that there's sort of a focal point of the image. And then oftentimes there's even a boundary, and then there's this expression of what goes on beyond the boundary. almost like you're getting this glimpse of this other reality. And so I did that both with the Hockney piece and then also with an even more intense sort of coffee sketch version of that around the perimeter. And I think balancing the two was the interesting part of the challenge. This is certainly a sketch that I'm both proud of, but I definitely, as I noted in the hashtags, I spent a little bit more time on. So this is all. This is a 30-minute sketch.
I did see that. I didn't know. I didn't know if you were going to mention that or not. And always trying to keep them brief, but
not always trying to keep it brief. But I mean, you know, with the pseudo commissioned, hey, I really want to use this and show it on an IMAX screen, which is kind of awesome. You know, let's do it. And, but at the same time, like, this is the thing that, it's not an ego trip or anything like that. It's more of, I knew it was going to work, but it was how many, you know, don't put too many rules on yourself to make it happen. But I ended up doing a few more than I expected that I was going to do. And I'm just glad it turned out really well.
Yeah, actually it's really cool. I wonder, you know, it's kind of neat. You kind of, the building in the background is sort of blowing past the edge of where Hockney kind of framed his painting. So it's a neat little, you know, violation of the grid there. And then, the balance of the space is really neat how you, and then you did utilize some coffee water, it looks like, in places. So it's got a lot of our episodes are kind of like baked into it or soaked into it, I should say.
Definitely soaked into it in this case. It's for those who don't know what we're talking about, the coffee water is that I have revealed that there is a time or two where either with the ink or with some graphite on the page, it's quite amazing what a brush dipped in your coffee cup can do on your artwork in a sketchbook. So time constraints are part of the biggest factor in that.
So is there anything in particular of the,
the coffee?
Well, we figured we learned that one a few episodes ago, and you know, it could be worse. There's worse things in life. Is there anything in the boundary like that? Because I love how it kind of wraps, and then you know, with Hockney's painting, he has that the springboard of the diving board of the swimming pool, and your sketch kind of like folds right into that. And I mean, not that it needed to do anything.
Yeah, and that's where it started, honestly. And so I did the Hockney piece first. And so it was, cause I wanted to get it right. You know, it was like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to cock it on its angle, in the book, I'm going to spread it between two pages. So it goes over the fold. I'm going to break the boundary of the box. I knew that. I mean, going into the sketch, I knew all those things. So I did that and I rendered the image as close as I could, to what you had sent me. And that took a good 10 minutes. So that portion, you know, cause I was kind of doing it a lot slower, kind of at a different pace than usual. For those who've watched our video episode where I'm sketching, I don't draw that fast. It is sped up, but yeah, in this case, I did sort of try to render this really, really carefully. Cause it's part of it too, is also it's details that you're maybe not necessarily familiar with. And you want to sort of make sure that you're picking up the highlights of that. Because the modern building has it kind of reads a little bit flat in the painting. There's subtleties in the color, and because I'm doing this all in black and white and just with an ink pen, I wanted to kind of get some hatching in there to try and draw out some of the subtleties of the color that that Hockney had. So I that was 10 minutes, and then that left me with, you know, kind of decision time of how do you start to go further past that gridded boundary and kind of go into the augmented landscape. And so you're right to see the connection to the diving board that's where I sort of jump off the page. So I go from painted image into kind of my rendered reality, and that's where it starts. And then part of that was, how do I kind of follow it around the perimeter and start to reestablish kind of its own grid? And I tried to establish sort of a different grid through those alternating hatched areas. And that sort of kind of folds around and sort of gives what I was struck by with the Hockney painting was the image of the background is so sort of modernist, stagnant, stagnant is the right word. Almost has a stoic kind of quality. It's like, here's this world, you know, we're in LA, boom. And there's, the perfect two palm trees. Here's the building. Here's the pool edge. Here's the diving board. It's this serene environment. And then there's this splash. You know, there's this energy that's sort of released in the work. And so what I wanted to do was take that idea of this energy in this world and, you know, almost in imagining sort of zooming out and sort of zooming out to what is the rest of this world? What is the rest of the energy of this environment look like? And that's where all this sort of frenetic augmented landscape really kind of comes into play.
Yeah, I can see that. It's really cool. You should, it's kind of an interesting challenge maybe. If you ever get stuck, I'll just feed you some interesting case study houses to draw. Hybrid sketches.
yes, please. Yeah. You're like, oh, Jamie's sort of in a morose little phase drawing his Gotham skyline. Let me send him a nice sunny case study house.
It is, but it's kind of a buildup though. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks and maybe even months now, intermittently with the hybrid sketching and the sort of dystopian landscape, the Gotham, the fact that Gotham is not a real place, but it's maybe New York, that sort of like it's maybe somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
So it's
right.
Really neat. I didn't ask really for anything except for, can you do, something in the vein of coffee sketch with this Hockney thing, but I didn't ask for anything in particular. And I got, more than what I got more out of it than I was even hoping for. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, and I appreciate that because part of it was when you asked, I was like, I'm glad he's not asking for anything more because this way, hopefully he can react to it. And then I can be a really great audience member and really enjoy you talking about it, which was great. I mean, it was sort of, that was the beauty of it for me, sort of selfishly wanted to hear what you were going to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, to reveal some of the secrets is that, obviously the event of all this happened a little ways back, a few weeks ago. And so now we're kind of catching up to the timeline in Instagram a little bit. So we have a little time away from it and then we can come back to it and kind of digest it again. So we're circling around things. And I really wanted to pull it out because it was able for us to kind of recap after a time had passed. And then it's, all of this going on at the same time as Arctober. And, we talked about that already with your, your positive and not so positive reactions to some of the prompts and, what you're going to do with all that. So, I mean, it's like layers of constraints on top of constraints all going at the same time.
So all good stuff, but I think we're getting to the end. I am super glad that we got to spend a little bit of time in Galveston and in Houston. And again, thank you to all the people who presented, at Pechacucha on the big IMAX screen. As I've said in many a Twitter post and on Instagram, I do believe it was probably the biggest screen that a Pechacucha has ever been presented on. So Texas sized, it was fun. Thanks for being
here. Yeah. Thanks for the invite. If I can never go back, if I get asked to Petra Kucha again, I can't. I'll have to say no. It's 60 feet screen or nothing, people.
Yeah. You have requests.
You ain't doing it right.
It's not going to be just in the green room. I want some M&Ms and a Subway sandwich. I mean, you want the 60-foot screen. So
that's right. That's right. It's in my contract.
Yep.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you for listening. We both hope that you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Sketch Podcast. Our theme music is provided by my brother, who goes by at Cold Fashioned on Instagram and Twitter. Our podcast is hosted at coffeesketch.buzzsprout.com. Find more show notes and information from this episode. And finally, if you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you.